Warning, the following describes the acts of a highly skilled professional-level driver and recreational drug user performed on a closed course of perceived reality. Do not attempt to recreate under any circumstances. The descriptions that follow may or may not be true, depending on who's investigating.
Whoa, blue lights.
Get the keys from that motherfucker. He took the keys with him.
You got the keys?
No, he took them. Get the keys from him.
Hold on. Let's Pat Dixon while you're gone. Dude. This is the most unbelievable story.
Hell yeah, bitch.
It's the Treefort Report. Witty digressions and retorts. Stories from criminal courts. And of course, look out for shorts. Treefort. Reports. Welcome, everybody, to the revamped Treefort Report. My name is Garrett Phillips, or as I was known in prison, Biff. I did 3 years in North Carolina prisons for trafficking MDMA and lived to both write a book about it and create this podcast about getting pulled over in Memphis on acid. Honestly, I kind of had to because I recorded a bunch of audio of the action as it happened by accident. And I'm refocusing this podcast. It used to be about current events and pop culture commentary, of which there seem to be plenty now. So I'm going to refocus this thing to prison stories, interview inmates I hung out with or did time with or whatever, if we come across good stories from other inmates to interview. And speaking of inmates, on the phone with me is Louie Zeus. Louie and I did time in Asheville, North Carolina. He's now currently in Charlotte. And Louie, what's going on down there?
How you doing, Garrett?
I'm doing well. Thanks for coming on. Anyway, here's the thing I was just telling Louie. I went down this rabbit hole of prison stories on YouTube, and there's this guy in California. He did a bunch of hard time in California. He's got 500,000 subscribers now, and he's interviewing this kid. He's like 24. He did time in Florida, 3 years, and anyway, long story short, this guy is a great interview, and he ended up doing his own channel. And he's making bank from it. And apparently there's a big audience for this. And this guy's making, he went from making $4,200 for a 28-day period about 10 days ago. And the last time I checked, now he's making almost $6,000 for the past 28-day period. And he adds over 1,000 subscribers a day. Look up 1090 Jake. That's digits. 1090 Jake. For some great storytelling and a great Boston accent. And I might add that I'm giving him this plug despite the fact that he hasn't responded to my message. Maybe someday this show will be big enough that 1090 Jake will come on as a guest. It's something to strive for. He's the kind of guy, is one of the rare white bloods. He was in the Bloods gang in Tampa, but he's white. Have you ever heard of that, Lewis?
I don't believe I have, Garrett.
A white...
No, that's definitely an anomaly.
A white blood, and on one of the YouTube, the lively YouTube comments section, somebody referred to that as a unicorn, basically. That's how rare that is.
There was another gang that was prominent that had mixed, you know, black, Hispanic, and whites. Do you remember, was it the Folk?
I'm not sure. I never did. Louis did a lot of time in medium security. I only did minimum, and we didn't mess with gangs at all. Although some of my friends in prison were Crips, I didn't even realize it until one of them got beat within an inch of his life by the other five that got shipped out. And that kid happened to be a friend of mine. He was my best friend in there, basically.
When you get to minimum security, everybody's focused on getting out. So you don't really want to get involved in gangs. Or if you had previous associations with them, you try to kind of back off a little bit because you're trying to get out. You don't want write-ups. You don't want points against you. So,
yeah,
you know, you're not out there like you are in close custody.
You know, now I think about
rampaging.
Now I think about it, maybe that kid that I was friends with, we were good pals. We hung out a lot. And maybe I'm the reason he got his ass beat by the other gang members because he was hanging out with the dorky white guy. It just occurred to me.
It's possible, Garrett. You may be responsible for someone getting their ass beat.
Do you think I got his jaw cracked? I mean, he got his jaw broken and everything. Anyway, but we digress. Again, now this podcast, I'm going to focus on interviews with funny or interesting lawbreakers like I was talking about. In other words, an audio version of my entertaining prison memoir, Lookout for Shorts, which I self-published recently. Lookoutforshorts.com is the website, and it is my prison memoir, and I just scored my first celebrity endorsement. Or blurb, if you will, of the book.
Cool.
Lewis.
Very cool.
You know Doug Stanhope, the comedian.
Of course.
Doug Stanhope, formerly of The Man Show with Joe Rogan, but he's a comics comic. He's basically a modern-day Bill Hicks and smokes like him during the show. And he pioneered playing rock clubs instead of standard comedy venues, probably because he could smoke all he wanted. Anyway, he could do that because he has a really loyal and vast fan base, and they'll pretty much follow him anywhere. It's not like he needs a comedy club for the extra crowd. Basically, any comic worth anything worships Doug Stanhope, and for good reason. I would encourage you to look up his videos if you want to see stand-up mastery.
He's awesome.
I think so, too. Anyway, listen to I sent him a book. He's checked out of society during the quarantine in middle of nowhere, Arizona. And I sent him a book. I just mailed it to him because I actually know him from back in the day at the Punchline in Atlanta where I used to live and work. And I sent him a book and because I figured he'd like it. And sure enough, he gave me a plug. He mentioned it twice on his podcast. On consecutive weeks, and here's a recording of the first week when he had apparently left the copy of my book on his nightstand before he walked in to do his podcast, but here's how that one went.
I was going to do these thank yous, but I'll just save them. I got a bunch. The guy who sent the book, a fan sent a book that is self-published. It's a prison memoir. I don't remember the name. I don't remember the title. But it's actually the first book other than Alex's draft that I've read during quarantine. So I will plug that. I'm 220 pages out of 297 or something. And it's fucking good. So, yeah, I won't forget to plug you. All right. Yeah, someone said there's pocket pussies.
If you're going to get a book plug, if it can end with a mention of pocket pussies that also got sent to the house... Because people send them all kinds of shit like that, but
yes, good company.
My book and pocket pussies.
Yeah,
but anyway,
that's pretty cool. But he didn't mention your name or the title of the book.
Yeah, that's kind of the downside to getting a plug. But he rectified it the next week, and you know this may be better because I got not one but two plugs. So. Here's the second plug.
I just finished a prison book. It's Garrett Phillips. It's a fan that we've met before years ago at the Atlanta Punchline. Yeah, he did 3 years. He was dealing ecstasy and other drugs. And fucking got busted, did 3 years in North Carolina, and wrote a book about it. And it's the first book I've ever read that a fan sent, because generally I don't have the time, and I don't care about whatever your book is. But this, I love prison shit, and it was a really good book. I just finished it today. So that was the only book that I've read during quarantine. So thank you, Garrett Phillips. The book is called Lookout for Shorts. Yeah, it's explained in the
book.
Sounds
like an electrician's manual.
Yeah. But hang on, I get the website. Yeah, lookoutforshorts.com. I highly recommend it.
Self-published, right?
Yep, yeah. Self-published, great. But really fucking well done.
Thank you, Doug Stanhope. And yes, it was self-published. And let me tell you, that's the last time I'm going to self-publish something, Lewis, because that was a bitch. Good Lord, especially on a low budget.
Hopefully it won't be. I mean, it will be the last time you have to self-publish.
Yeah, thank
you. This could take off. I hope it does for you there.
I think now that I...
myself and think it's awesome.
Thank you, Lewis. And now that I have Lewis Zeus on board with this project, at least for the time being, I expect nothing but a rocket ride to the top.
Of course.
So
you got to look at it that way.
That's right. And God knows I need it, because I got laid off from my chauffeur gig in Los Angeles and still haven't gotten my unemployment from it. It's been an absolute nightmare. That was like 4 months ago, more than 4 months ago. Now I live in Richmond, Virginia, but I digress. So we'll get us a YouTube channel and get paid.
Absolutely. I don't see why not.
No, everybody's doing it. They're all doing like hardcore stories. My book, our stories are more like comedy. And the absurdity of it, you know, and just I'll be talking to people that went to Club Fed, you know, not people that were cutting people with razors.
Right. Well, there is a definite sort of humorous kind of what the hell is this aspect to prison?
Yeah.
You know, that really gets talked about.
The fish out of water angle. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they focus on, you know, the gangs and all that. People's. On TV, you can see prison shows and whatnot, but that's only one side. You know, the day is of 24 hours, and there's a lot of shit that goes on besides the violence and the stabbings.
Yeah,
day-to-day life.
Yeah, that's what I try to get into. And apparently, you know, my book's been out for a couple months, woefully underpromoted because I have no budget. The point is that my book has sold, God, I think 40 or 50 copies at this point. And with that kind of demand, there's no way a YouTube channel could miss, right?
You know, you're off on the right foot. Book is the start.
Yeah. I mean, fuck, at least it's on the market. Available,
right.
You can find it at Lookout for Shorts. If you want to avoid Amazon, which some people just hate Amazon, and there are links to other places to buy it from, Barnes & Noble, etc., if you go to the website. But anyway, this podcast isn't just to pimp my book, believe it or not, even though you wouldn't know that from the first 10 minutes. This very special episode centers around my most read blog post of all time on Medium. This is called Pulled Over in Memphis on Acid. That's also, you don't have to go to Medium to see that anymore. You can go to my website, and that blog post is on there along with many others. But anyway, this story, what makes this special, especially for a podcast episode, is I got pulled over, A, while I was tripping, and B, while I was recording, because, you know, when you're tripping on acid, you have a feeling, you suspect that you're spouting serious witticisms and really profound shit, right?
Yes, you do. And some are and some aren't.
Yeah, as it turns out, that's true. So anyway, I was thinking, fuck it. I'm on the road doing stand-up. I was in Albuquerque and Colorado Springs before I was headed back through Memphis to get back to Atlanta. And I'm like, I'm just going to roll this recorder, which I use when I go on stage. I'm just going to talk, you know, extemporaneously and see if I come up with any good shit.
And the universe handed you a perfect story.
As it turns out, not necessarily profundities were spewing from my pie hole, but I got pulled over while I was recording, and the thing was rolling the whole time.
Perfect.
And this audio ends up being pretty entertaining. Now, to set it up, part of this audio is me after the fact, after I drove away. I'm recording all of this so I don't miss any details. I'm just trying to recap what the fuck just happened. And then when the audio switches, you'll notice a tone, and it switches to me live before I got pulled over, when I happen to be whining about the traffic and talking about what a great driver I am, and you know, the pride cometh before the fall. It's pretty good shit. So anyway, this is how that it starts, with me explaining what just happened, and then it drops into actually as it was happening.
I need to get this story from beginning to end on tape while I'm still on acid. So I did 2 weeks in Colorado Springs and a week in Albuquerque, and I stopped. I was playing golf. I met this guy that lived in Norman, Oklahoma, said, stay with me on your way home. We'll play golf. This morning, which is very similar to 2 a.m. if you're a comic, I started my day at 2 a.m. Played golf with this guy. The plan all along was to do acid on the ride home because I'm fucking exhausted, right? I've done nothing but drink way too much, thanks to the bartender and laughs in Albuquerque for the stiff pours, and thanks to Russ Rivas, ladies and gentlemen. A very, very fine. I learned a shitload from that guy this week. But I get done with the golf today, like 2:00, and I'm like, okay, look, I'm driving home tonight from Norman, Oklahoma. I'm gonna go all the way to Atlanta, and the only way I can pull this off, as partied out and just kind of worn out as I am after 3 weeks on the road, was to do acid.
Who the hell do you think you are?
Because I had this acid from like 3 years ago that I did the year before for the greatest concert I ever saw, Rush, on August 1st, 2004. That same acid, a year later, that's what I'm on tonight. Anyway, I dose at like 6:30.
How dare you?
Everything's great. I start getting visuals at around 7:30, just in time for the sunset over the Mississippi Delta. And then things got a little dicey when I approached Memphis, and I had to catch 59 out of Memphis to Tupelo. So suffice it to say, I finally get on the right road. I'm like, fuck 59. Just give me, at this point, I just want 40 East.
I should add here that was a little more involved, because I pulled off thinking I had already missed the exit when I hadn't, and I ended up in some strange industrial area. And I'm looking at my map. This was before GPS. And that map might as well have been a GPS display for how vivid it was at the time, and it was kind of pulsating. And I almost panicked at that point. Luckily, I've done acid 150 times or whatever, and I can fight my way through a moment like that. But yeah, it was a major clusterfuck. Anyway, let's continue. I missed my exit, I'm disoriented, and then I hit this.
Unbelievable. I may have to just go out of my way and fucking... Obviously, I can't figure out the whole Tupelo thing. To describe what I'm going through right now, complete road construction. I mean, barriers on either side, uneven lanes, fucking trucks in the left, there's no space to get by anybody, and to think that I'm just driving as if I'm walking right now. Just, that's not even a concern, like the actual driving part.
You're stupid.
I've worked as a courier in Atlanta for 10 years. I still have my sanity. In fact, I actually enjoy it, but I'm actually the world's greatest driver.
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
If you ever wanted to ride with him, I'm the guy.
Yeah, so that's You kind of want something bad to happen to me at this point, don't you, after listening to that wine fest, Lewis?
You do. You do. It's like, man, give him something to whine about, please.
Yeah.
And sure enough.
Yes, and here we go.
Whoa, blue lights. Ah, just kidding. They're in front of me. I'm taking the due caution that the threat of incarceration puts over you. Whoa, that would be a bad place to be.
Yeah, I had just passed a car that was pulled over. Like, that's what I meant by the blue lights. And I was like, it would suck to be him. And then...
Oh, that wasn't you.
Yeah, no. And then you hear my blinker going off right now as I'm getting pulled over, and suddenly the cat has my tongue. I'm not real verbose at that point. I'm gulping, going, oh, fuck. I didn't say anything. You'll notice. I'm scrambling to find my main goal is I had switched out of my regular shorts because I sweat a lot when I'm tripping, okay? So I'm like, I need to put on my bathing suit to make this more comfortable. And I'm scrambling to get my wallet out of my shorts before the cops, two cops, one on either side, make it to the car. So anyway. I failed to clear my throat before they came up. I'm like, Mr. Two Packs a Day smoker on the road. Yes, officer. Anyway.
I'm doing well. How are you? I'm just getting my wallet. I'm just getting my wallet out.
The reason why we stopped talking about it, we stopped for speeding. Going a little bit too fast.
Okay, sorry.
How you doing, partner?
I'm just getting my wallet out.
Okay. Did you realize the speed limit in the construction zone was 45?
No, sir, I didn't.
Have you had any tickets for anything lately?
No.
Where are you headed?
Actually, I'm going to Georgia.
I'm sorry. Georgia?
Sorry. Yeah.
Where are you coming from, Mr. Phillips?
Memphis.
You're in Memphis? Here in Memphis?
Yeah, I'm in Memphis. I mean, I'm coming from Albuquerque.
Mr. D, disoriented.
Yeah, playing it cool, Garrett.
Yeah, I couldn't even come up with Atlanta when I needed it. He was asking me where I was going. I'm like, Georgia?
Why didn't you want to tell him you were coming from Albuquerque? What made you say Memphis?
I just didn't. I was disoriented. I didn't think right. I wasn't hiding anything. But you'll note later he mentions to the other cop he's making fun of me about that very fuck up. But anyway, we'll continue with the arrest.
So I did stand-up comedy in Albuquerque this week.
Really?
Yeah. You guys seem like a kind of a sick crowd. Fun with the megaphone time, ladies and gentlemen. I had a buddy stay over the other night. He was in town visiting. And he got lucky. He brought home a girl. And I was sleeping at the time when he got home. And I'm laying there, and all of a sudden I hear this, and I wake up, and I'm like, wow, I don't think that's a dream this time. So I poke my head out the door. Sure enough, he was on the couch going at it, man. He's on top, laying the pipe. So, of course, I stood there and watched. I enjoyed the live sex in the living room, and problem was, he kept going in the same position. You know, 7-8 minutes, same position. And I wish I would have had this at the time, because then I could have grabbed it and been a porn director and said, cut. Can we get the girl doggy style over the couch, please? I'm just really tired. I've been playing
Nothing Bad on Your Driving Record.
I don't think the cop was buying that one. I'm just really tired, I tell him, with my eyes as big as fucking saucers.
It's hard to say I'm tired when you're tripping.
Yeah, it was a tough sell, and he clearly just moved right past that one. And he's like, you know, I've heard all this shit from you fucking drug dealer. And I might add, they think I'm a drug dealer. This is the K-9 unit. And I'm riding in an old Lexus. It was a 93 Lexus. It's about 10 or 12 years old at the time. Not that expensive, but it's all blacked out. It's black, and the windows are all black. It's out-of-state plates. It's blowing through their construction zone. They're thinking this guy has drugs in the car.
Nothing bad on your driving record? You're not suspended, canceled, revoked, anything like that?
No, my driver record is clean.
Is this your car?
Yeah.
Have you got the registration?
Yeah.
How long you been out in Albuquerque?
I spent a week out there and 2 weeks in Colorado Springs.
You got a CD or anything?
Do you have, actually, I don't. I was just recording one. Here's the girl that I was with in Albuquerque.
And by girl I was with, I mean the girl that was on the bill with me. Her name is Jessie Campbell, and she's hilarious. But the point is, that was my character. Pardon?
You don't have a CD.
Yeah, I don't have a, I'm a comic without a CD, but I do have a CD of this girl. And I'm using this as proof that I'm a stand-up comic, and I hand it to him, and I realize the character witness I'm giving him, the cover of her CD is her leaning over a pool table, hitting a shot with a cigarette hanging out of her mouth. And I'm like, yeah, now that's a great character witness. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, cops like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, probably. All right, here we go. The other cop pipes up at this point.
To the back of the cop car.
Now, here's the good part. I should set this up. I tried to give the guy my keys, and he wouldn't take them. He wasn't paying attention, and I was just like, fuck it, I'll walk to the back of the car with my keys in my pocket. So then the fun begins when they think I can't hear them.
Get the keys from that motherfucker. He took the keys with him. Get the keys from that motherfucker.
You got the keys?
No, he took them. Get the keys from him.
Here you go, bro. All
right.
Go.
By the way, that's when he found the weed.
Because
he had just, the rustling you hear is him fucking with the, I have wires and all kinds of crap on the passenger seat. And I had this weed in a cigarette cellophane that some girl gave me the night before or two nights before. And it was in weed purgatory. It wasn't good enough to hide. And it wasn't necessarily bad enough to throw away, so it just sat in the seat, and I forgot about it.
I asked him where it was coming from, and he said, that's where he was coming from, and he said, Memphis.
I don't know if you could hear that, but he said, I asked him where it's coming from. He said, Memphis. I said, you're in Memphis.
I asked him where it was coming from.
Anyway, so I end up going back behind the car, and they're asking me if I have any guns in there or whatever, and I don't. And they said, well, we're going to have to search your car. We got probable cause because we found this weed. And I'm like, go ahead, man. I have nothing to hide. I have no drugs. I have nothing. Do what you got to do. And they put me in the back of the K-9 unit in the back seat, and I sit there and watch. Now, I'm still tripping. I mean, I wasn't fully, like, really tripping. I wasn't losing my mind or anything, but the visuals were fantastic. And now it's dusk. And the blue lights are going off. And I'm watching these motherfuckers unpack everything, dude. Under the lining of the trunk, they unpack all of my baggage, you know, my golf bag. Everything's all over the road. But somehow I didn't have much worry because I just had a good feeling for some reason that I wasn't going to be in trouble over that little bit of weed, because I knew they weren't going to find anything else. And meanwhile, there's a snarling canine. The actual canine is in a cage behind me, like right behind me. And I look at it and I try a little puppy talk, and that thing snarls at me like it wanted to rip my aorta off. That was a nice little touch. So anyway, the cop comes back. The kicker to this story is insane. Both the cops come back, and the one does all the talking, the white guy, big white guy. And he's asking me to tell him jokes. You know, he's fascinated that I'm a stand-up comic. He says, can you send us a CD or anything? I said, I don't actually have one yet, but I was recording right then, and this may turn into a CD, so yeah, I'll send it to you. And anyway, he asks me about the weed, Lewis. He says, he holds it up, and he says, now, is this what you call the dank? The dank. That's
a good one.
And I was like, I immediately gave up industry secrets. I said, I feel bad about this to this day. I said, no, officer, that's not dank. That's swag. Dank is the good stuff. That didn't even get me high, to be honest. I didn't even want it. I mean,
did you tell him that?
Yeah. He's like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And then long story short, he says, here's my card. Give us a call if you ever get anything done with your CD or whatever. And give us a call if you come through town again. I'll come see you. And I'm like, all right, that's awesome. It seems like I'm getting off. So we get out of the car. He takes me to the front of it, holds the weed up, dumps it out, and says, I just want to dump this out right here and let you go, but you got to tell all your friends, not all cops are dicks. And I was like, done, officer. Thank you.
Wow.
And that's a poignant story for now, isn't it, Lewis? Not all cops are dicks.
That's right. The kind ones.
There are kind ones.
The ones that don't beat people and let people off for little bits of weed.
Yeah. And it turns out there was good reason that he was more agreeable than most cops, because apparently he had a little side business going on at the time. Because here's the kicker. I told the story on the Phish message board, the band. I'm a big fan. Shout out to PT, that's Fantasy Tour, where I happen to be notorious, and which I can thank for leading me to Lauren Lee, who ran the comedy club I worked in Colorado Springs and got me the gig in Albuquerque. Anyway, I tell this story on the message board a couple years later, and somebody comes on there and says, hey, Brady Valentine, and he puts up this link, and it turns out that very cop got arrested for running a steroid ring.
Steroids?
Yeah, he was running a steroid ring and ended up doing his own prison sentence.
Wow. Life is funny, isn't it?
That killed me. What are the odds?
Oh, man. Well, that's pretty crazy story, man. We've all had run-ins with the cops. I've got a few of those stories myself. Not all are assholes, for sure.
Yeah, that's right. And you got to keep in mind they are blue-collar workers at the end of the day, and you can't expect perfection.
No, especially from prison guards.
Right.
That's another breed entirely.
Yeah, the cops that can't make it as cops, that are too lazy to actually be cops, they become prison guards.
It's the cliche, but for a large part, it's true. Many of them didn't pass for whatever reason. Apparently, weight doesn't matter when you become a prison guard, because there were some 300-pound dudes, and it looked like they'd die if they had to chase you, you know, through the cell block. So I don't know really how that works.
Yeah.
Maybe each state has different physical, you know, tests or whatever. But in North Carolina, you can be a hog and be a prison guard. So
now we're back to after the arrest, when I'm telling the story and my buddy Pat Dixon calls, and this is really funny. He's also a stand-up comic, by the way.
Hold on. Dude, this is the most unbelievable story. Comedian Pat Dixon, ladies. He's on board for the iPod broadcast.
Now, I don't know if you could catch what that was. I had an idea for a radio show that's basically a podcast now, where I would interview people long form, have a roster of people, you know, catch comics when they're basically what the fuck with Mark Maron. That's what I said, an iPod broadcast. And that is a turning point in life, Lewis. This is 2005. I had that idea. Do you think I did it?
Wow.
Sadly, problem was the follow through. I had the idea before anybody did it, and then I didn't do it. Out of laziness or whatever the fuck. But that's a tough one to get over. You know what I mean?
Well, you're doing it now, so making up for it.
Yeah, I figured wait until there were literally 800,000 other podcasts.
Right.
and then
jump on
my niche.
The bandwagon, right?
Yeah, because I really want to test whether I can reach the top. I really want to know. I don't want to just get there by default because I was the first one, do I? Why would I want to do that?
Of course not. Where's the struggle? Where's the drama in that?
That's right. I wouldn't have any wherewithal now. I wouldn't have any, you know, grit.
Well, you wouldn't have the life experience.
Thank you. I wouldn't have done that 3 years of research as an embedded reporter to come up with Lookout for Shorts, would I have?
Right.
All right. Let's finish up.
You're sweating now. That's enough.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, yeah. I'm really lucky. I'm lucky I've done acid 150 times and I can keep my shit together under it. And that's the second time comedy's got me out. I don't know if that was why this time. It couldn't have hurt, though.
I just finished telling him the story about, you know, how I got out of it. So the first story where I mentioned that, talk about white privilege. This is the second time stand-up comedy got me out of it. I had left a stand-up gig in Atlanta with an open six-pack on the floorboard of the passenger side, definitely at least 0.12. And I got pulled over by a canine unit. And I told, this is back in 95 or 96, and I had this ace fucking bit about Howard Cosell doing a play-by-play of the O.J. Simpson murders. Visit the Tree Fort Report channel on YouTube to see this O.J. Simpson bit played out. And please subscribe while you're at it. Thanks. And, dude, the cop starts asking me questions, and he says, oh, you're a stand-up comic? Tell me a joke. And I went into that bit, and he laughed his ass off and just let me go. He put a flashlight on that open beer on the passenger side, too, and he still let me go.
Wow. Power of entertainment. You'd be in the entertainment business.
And speaking of entertainment, it turns out my aforementioned stand-up comedy friend, Pat Dixon, was in Nashville that night, which was on my way home. He's like, man, you're on a roll tonight. Maybe we should go out and try to pick up women. I'm like,
well, you're still tripping too.
Exactly. He could let me do all the talking. But, well, we'll finish this off.
Yeah, it's just too crazy of a story. This is the girl I worked with, and I flip him this cheap CD of Jesse Campbell out of Tucson. God, she's good. Somewhere outside of Nashville. You're in Nashville right now? Where are you staying? Dude, how epic would that be if I rolled in this state, hooked up with you at a bar, and then we got laid on top of everything else? I mean, anything could happen at this point. I don't know how far I am from Nashville, though. If I'm anywhere near there, I'll call you, but I don't know how. I have a feeling I'm at least an hour out. But I was planning on driving through, but if you're going to go out trolling for chicks, I'll swing through, man. Want to?
Anyway, that's a glimpse into the life of the traveling stand-up comic. Although, sadly, I did not get into Music City in time for us to make anything happen that night. Lewis, certainly you have a white privilege story on the street when you got off from the cops.
Well, several, actually, but one that sticks in mind is I was in Florida at the time, and me and a friend are riding around in a pickup. We just scored an ounce of weed, and he's rolling a joint in the passenger seat. Well, boom, blue lights come on. Look behind me. Motorcycle cop. As we turn the corner, I'm yelling, my buddy, get rid of it, get rid of it. So as we turn the corner, there's a row of bushes. So he grabs the lid and throws it right into the bushes, and we turn the corner, and the cop right behind us. Well, he comes over and, you know, of course, goes through the whole routine, whatever, and says, well, you forgot to put on your turn signal back there. He said, that's why I pulled you. Make sure you do that next time. Okay. So he gets on the bike. We watch him drive off. He goes right to the bush before we threw out the weed out, picks it up, puts it in his pocket, and drives off.
That's awesome. Now, that's another case of the cop being jovial because he's making money on the side.
He knew he was going to go get that ounce of weed. So, you know, he was just, okay, you got to be careful.
That's fantastic.
Use your turn signal next time.
That's the key to nice cops, as long as they're making cash on the side.
Right. Drop your wallet or something, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, I never had the discipline to do that. I always intended to have a folded up C note right there underneath, maybe stuck to the back of my license a little bit.
Yeah.
Have some kind of adhesive where that C note sticking on your license. So you'd have plausible deniability when you hand it to the cop and the C note happens to be stuck to the bottom of it. And you go, oh my God, that's my emergency money. I put my license in the wrong part of my wallet. I wasn't trying to bribe you or anything, or they just take it and don't say shit.
Yeah. Well, I guess it depends where you are.
Yeah.
In the country. There are some areas that, you know, the cop might take that, but others where you could get another charge.
Yeah, but
bribery.
But anyway, before you even get to that point, you have to have a lifestyle where you can actually save $100 for any length of time.
Exactly. Well, you know, there's a lot of countries where that is expected.
Yeah.
You know, you're supposed to give the cops money. If you don't, they'll bust you.
Yeah. I mean, you literally ask them if they have change, probably.
Yeah. I mean, Mexico Listen, is definitely at the top of the list.
All I have is a million peso note. Can you break that, officer?
Yeah. I mean, they're down there. It's called mortida or something like that, the bite. So anytime you deal with any public official, you have to pay a small bribe.
It's pathetic.
It's part of the culture.
It's pathetic that both of us don't know the word because we did time and never bothered to learn Spanish. That's just horrible.
Well, I learned a few words.
Apparently not that one.
Not that one.
I know buen trabajo from working in restaurants.
I believe it is called la mordita.
Okay.
A little bite.
I'm sure one of our two listeners will send me a message.
We'll call his Hispanic friend and ask if that's right.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, we're going to wrap this up. I'm going to wrap this up now. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Treefort Report. Louis Zeus and I will be interviewing other people that we did time with and some other crazy fuckers. Whoever, if you happen to know anybody that's entertaining that did time and wouldn't mind being on the podcast, let us know. Look out for shorts.com, and then where you can see my blogs and videos and audio, all kinds of different stuff. You can email me there. Look out for shorts@gmail.com. Lewis, do you have any sign off for us today? Okay. Oh, you got music, man.
Well, I got some music coming out soon. That's all I can say.
Yeah. I should add, Lewis happens to be a virtuoso guitarist and an old music guy. I mean, he knows, he can read music, he knows all that shit. Minor, major, dysnosian, what's that word?
Mixolydian.
Oh, that's it.
The mode.
Okay.
Modes are based on Greek terms.
All right, so, yeah, Lewis is a student of music, and he's a hell of a guitar player, and that's how we met, and that's the main reason we hooked up in Asheville, because we're both big music fans. Lewis is more into the jazz than I am. He's not really a hippie.
Well, you're into Fish, and that's kind of, at times, jazzy.
That's right. So, anyway, tell us about the music you have coming up. Do you have any kind of release date, or what can you let us know?
I wish I did. I'm still working on it, Garrett. You know, I've got some tunes in the can already and working on stuff pretty much all the time. So hopefully in the next couple months, I'll have something to release. At that time, we'll promote it. But right now, it's still in the working stage. So, but it's going to be a whole project, and it will be coming out one way or another.
I am looking forward to it, and hopefully we'll have a platform for you to promote it right away if we can get this thing off the ground. Thank you, everybody that listened, and tell a friend, rate us on iTunes, go there and give us a nice 5-star rating or whatever. It would be greatly appreciated. And until next time, peace out, or as they say in Canada, peace out.
Good night, Garrett.
See you later.
And all you can talk about is money.
Where's my money, bitch?